I'm going to invite Rick and Carol to come forward. This morning, as part of our sermon time, we're going to get an update from Rick and Carol Wallace. Rick was my assistant for a number of years, and then Rick and Carol sensed a new call to mission, and they began a new season of ministry in the Riverside area with a mission called The Table. And you each have an insert that gives a little bit about The Table that you can take a look at some point, but right now I ask you to divert your attention to Rick and Carol.
Good morning. It's a privilege to be here. Thanks for your prayers and support, especially over the last 6 months. It's a real privilege to be part of an extended community. When you are rushed off to the hospital for a medical emergency because you're experiencing a brain bleed, as I was back in October, you really need community at that point in your life, especially starting off with a new mission. That happened, in October, and we experienced godly Christ-centered community in lots of ways, largely through you all, gifts of meals, of prayer, of visits, really demonstrated to us the love of God in practical ways. And we really appreciate, above all, your prayers. I was talking to my neurosurgeon last month and a half ago now, and he was giving me the update about my final angiogram, and he said this to me. This is a neurosurgeon. He said, "Rick, you're normal." So, he said, I mean, by the mercies and wonders of God, here we are. He said, "I could do anything I want." He said, "I could even," amen, glory to the Lord. One of the kisses from the Father when I was in hospital was meeting this neurosurgeon who was from French Canada. He and I, he's a big hockey fan. I love ice hockey. So half the time, I exaggerate not, we were chatting about his Canadiens or my Blue Jackets from Columbus. And so anyway, when he called me, he said, "You're normal." He said, you can do anything you want now. You can even go back and play ice hockey. And I said, "Well, I'm kind of old for that, but thanks anyway." Carol and I are going to just take a few minutes and take turns sharing some highlights of what's going on, but I want to just remind you why we call our mission The Table. We call it The Table because most of what we do literally happens around a table. Our vision statement is to be a community of hope, healing, and hospitality. And so what we do is welcome people into our lives and walk as the Lord leads us. Practically, the three ways in which we've been doing our ministry: one happens on Sunday evenings. We have a Bible study, begins with a meal, and usually is followed by communion. Currently, we're studying the Gospel of Mark, lowering the plow and taking our time this year looking into into the gospel that that the Lord gave us through that apostle. We're experiencing in our Sunday night group community in a new way. One of our key leaders and his family had to leave town for a few months to go to Gainesville so that their newborn baby could have heart surgery. So we felt like when that news broke, we were going to be extended community with him. And so we've had road trips, and we've had opportunities, some from you all as well, of gift boxes, care packages. And so we are learning how to be a core community, a missional community in different ways. Second way that we're doing our mission is through what Carol calls Tuesday Open Table. Tuesday night, she makes a home-cooked meal and invites neighbors over. And the way she's put it is, just come for dinner and leave when you have to. This is not a potluck. This is a time to come and eat and to build relationships. When we first moved over there, we said to our neighbors, we love to eat and we want to meet the neighbors. Can you help us do both? So come on over. And so we've been doing that here for a couple years, and we've really seen some new momentum and some deepening relationships through that group of people that are becoming consistently the Tuesday Table. It's almost like a second community for us. And the third way in which the Lord is moving through us is we meet in what we call groups of twos or threes, where once a week or once or twice a month, Carol or I will meet with some of the women in our lives or men in our group, and we'll, in small groups of twos or threes, dig into discipleship. Some of the men we were meeting for twice a month, reading through one of John Eldridge's books, and we succeeded on finishing that in 2017. The hub of the vision, though, is actually literally a vision the Lord gave us 4 years ago when we decided to move to Riverside. And we had prayer rocks with our core group and nights of prayer. And the Lord gave us a vision, gave several of us a vision independently of a bicycle wheel with a hub and spokes. And the Lord was saying, that's what I'm going to be doing through you. You're going to be a hub where you're going to be making disciples, sending them out, and then they're going to come back for refreshment, for relationship, for mentoring, and then going back out. And so we see that happening in some of the people that meet in our groups of twos or threes through Tuesday tables, missions going out. Some of our key leaders are active in local ministries where we meet on Sunday nights and they go out. One couple's active in Celebrate Recovery. Another one is active in the International House of Prayer Worship Ministry. We've been active in tutoring with World Release after school tutoring program for refugee kids. And I've been asked this year again to help start an InterVarsity Bible study at FSCJ. So we're all spokes of the wheel as disciples. We're all called to make disciples. That's a calling for each one of us, regardless of your background, your experience, or your skill set. As a follower of Christ, we're called to make disciples. Especially this year, I've been seeing our neighborhood, our area of Riverside Avondale, as really a place that the Lord's put us in the old English way of looking at a parish, a geographical area for ministry. And so when I take prayer walks or neighborhood walks and I meet shopkeepers or managers of coffee shops or neighbors or librarians, I'm seeing that that is an opportunity to see how is the kingdom moving in our parish. It's not an official parish in the diocese, but you get my point. It's a regional area that the Lord has called us to make disciples and to extend his kingdom. And then I also want to add one other thing, and this will segue into Carol's stories this morning. Making disciples requires the two R's. It requires being real, being vulnerable, being transparent, being honest about your needs as you're discipling others. You'll be setting an example of what it means to be a human and to be a vessel that the Lord wants to fill with his Spirit. So to make disciples requires that we are real people. We are authentic and transparent and vulnerable. And secondly, that we're ready. That we're ready as you walk out the door. We're ready. We have our eyes and our ears open as to who the Lord is going to bring across our path or into our lives. And we're ready to tell the story of Jesus, to tell our story, how we met Jesus. And we're ready to respond to their needs and to who they are at that time. So making disciples, it's relational. It's messy. It takes a long time. And what we bring to the table is we need to be real and we need to be ready. So Carol's going to share some vignettes about what's happening. Go ahead.
So, hi. to give you sort of a couching of my vignettes that are about to happen, I did want to share about a little bit about my schedule during the week. I love my schedule. The daily routine that I have allows for discipleship to be folded in. And two things that are a part of that: one, my students and their parents who come into our home throughout afternoons and occasional evenings just provide, because they're coming constantly week after week, we have the opportunity for ongoing meaningful conversation. And sometimes it's actually just amazing to see how God lines that up and builds trust. And thank you, Lord. It's part of what we thought would probably happen when we moved to the area, and we're loving that. And then in the mornings, I have a lot of flexibility, and so often I will find myself over a cup of coffee with a friend who's been maybe a friend for years or maybe a new friend. And often it's someone who's in the midst of a broken or difficult situation. And often I find God bringing me these dear women that maybe I don't share the same things in my past that are bringing them to me, but they just want to have somebody who will listen and encourage them and love them. And so in our neighborhood, we see some patterns that people bump into when they're living a very secular life. And we can be a beacon of hope for them and say, you know what? You have my friendship, and more than that, God loves you. And so I love that schedule. But one of the greatest potential places for ongoing conversation, as Rick mentioned, is our Tuesday table, because that's a place where we just come and we hang, and nobody really has to get any place quickly. So we are loving that. And I had two stories I wanted to share. So the first story is about two women, Anne and Jane. And Anne was a friend I met through the Nextdoor app. I don't know if any of you are part of that, but we joined it very quickly when we moved to Riverside because we wanted to meet our neighbors in an efficient way, and it's been helpful for that. And also, it's been helpful for finding homes for SCOBY to make kombucha. I make kombucha, and if you do the same, you know that it's kind of like friendship bread. You constantly have more of that wonderful, delicious stuff than you can use. And so every once in a while, I'll put out looking for new homes for my SCOBY. And I met Anne that way, and we had fun conversations in my driveway and in the SCOBY room. And so I invited her to our Tuesday table. And she said that sounded like fun, but she never came. Well, about 6 months later, I got a message from her, and she said, "Have you seen Jane's post? Jane's a new member of our neighborhood, and she's written that she doesn't know anybody and that she's hungry for friends. I think you should invite her to your dinner thing." And I said, "Oh, thank you. I didn't see her post, and I'll look for it, and I will invite her. And would you come, too? And, you know, please come." And she said, "Okay." So the next week, both of them come. And what a precious thing. So they both were regulars for a while. Both had significant health needs, it turned out. Yeah, Anne has stopped coming as frequently, but we still have a good conversations, good relationship, and I expect God's going to do more there. But Jane keeps coming. And she has been such a blessing to our community in terms of being an example of someone who's authentic and open and just tells you where she's at. And in such a loving way and an honest way that really she's modeled for our other members what that means to be honest and open like that. She's come to join our groups of twos and threes with our women's group that meets on Sunday. And I was a little hesitant to invite her because she was looking for, she wanted to join a mega church, and she's still looking for the perfect mega church. And I didn't want a sheep steal, but after a while I thought, well, she still hasn't found it, so I'm just going to say, "Would you just come to our, you know, our little group?" And she said, "Oh, yes, I'll come." And shared with us that that's really been an answer to a heart cry of hers, that small trusting group is a place that's filling this need that she was crying out to God for. So we're so grateful. The second story is about another friend of mine. Those were two new friends. And this is a friend who I've been friends with for many, many years, Delia. And she loves God deeply. And that's the context that I first met her in, was as a passionate lover of God. However, after knowing her for a number of years, she shared with me how the church had betrayed her deeply many years prior, and how she was having a hard time really staying with God. And then she had a period of falling away, and now she's back in our life. And we're like, "Oh, thank you, God, for bringing her back." And she finds that our very small community, where everyone is known and the pace is gentle, that's a safe place for her. And she's coming back now, and God is touching her in some new ways. And she, in turn, is touching others. And it, again, is very precious to see, and we're grateful to get to be part of it, and looking forward to seeing God continue to bring that deep healing in her life that she so desperately needs. And I think that's everything I have. Thank you all for your prayers and for making possible what we get to do. It's such an honor, and we're really excited to be able to be saying yes to God in these new ways that we are enjoying in the season.
Would you want to share the prayer request?
Oh, yes.
Okay, and then I'll do that.
Yes. So we did want to give you some prayer requests that you could continue to hold onto for us with the Lord. And mine is the biggest one I have right now. It really relates to the stories I just shared with you and the stories we shared half a year ago as well. You know, we are meeting these people who are in such broken places, and we're offering them the gift of friendship. And sometimes I think love that they haven't really gotten before. One friend that we shared with you a half a year ago had shared with us that really all of her family had been killed in the Holocaust, and she had no one. And how hard is that? So we are offering a kind of love that sometimes is very different and very needed. Our prayer is that when people receive this love, that they see Jesus and their dependence is built on him, not on us. And that the Lord will lead us to know everything we can do to encourage that. You know, we don't want to beat them over the head and say, it's not us, it's Jesus, and make them feel like it's some kind of religious thing or notches on a belt or something. But we really, that's our prayer, is that they as they grow to be loved and to love us, that they grow past that and into the fuller thing of knowing how much Jesus loves them and saying yes to him. So thank you.
Awesome. Well, thank you. It's good to be here. Bill?